Well, something very special happened last Thursday in the church's calendar. It was Ascension Day. And yet, if we stick to the lectionary, the readings for today have moved on. So I thought we'd have the Ascension Day readings today because it's a really important time in the life and ministry of Jesus. Because the ascension of Jesus is the completion of his work on earth. And St. Luke has recorded it in both the readings we heard today in his Gospel and also in his second book, the Book of Acts. And as a good doctor, he likes to keep good records, and he is the one who gives us most information about what happened on that day. So what did actually happen? There's a whole lot of artwork that features the feet of Jesus disappearing into the clouds. This is just one of them, by a German painter, and there are lots, some of them are quite humorous, and there are some places actually have a pair of feet sticking out of the chapel. I forget which chapel it is, but you know, there's certainly artwork, and all you can see is the feet as he's ascending straight up into heaven, like he's got a sort of booster pack to sort of zoom him up. The emphasis can feel a little bit like one of loss, that Jesus is being taken away from the disciples yet again. So he died, then he was resurrected, and we celebrated that on Easter Sunday, and he came back, and they thought, oh, it'll be back to normal. And no, he's being taken away again. So you can feel sometimes, oh, there's loss. And I'm sure the disciples themselves would have felt an element of loss. And yet, the destination is really important. Jesus is returning to his Father and is being exalted to the highest place in the heavens to sit beside his Father in heaven. And in our reading from Luke 24, we hear how Jesus prepares his disciples before this happened. And he paid attention to the past, the present, and the future. First of all, he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. So he talked about the past, and he had to do this on lots of occasions. You'll remember when he met the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. It took him a few hours to do that on that walk, and I'm sure there were lots of other occasions when he had to explain over and over again and open their minds. And of course, all of us, when we've got a big concept to take on board, something that's completely out of our understanding or our experience, it often takes several goes to understand it, doesn't it? We need it to be explained over and over again. So he did that with the disciples, and he explained again that what happened in his death and his resurrection on the third day was a fulfillment of scripture. And not just what's called the messianic scriptures, the ones that point to the Christ, that the Messiah, but actually the whole of the Old Testament. And that's what he means when he says the law of Moses, the Psalms and the prophets, that's the whole of the Old Testament, all point towards him, the Christ, and what was going to happen to him. And then in the present, he reminded them that they were his witnesses. They were witnesses of his life and ministry to his rising from death and his post-resurrection appearances, of which many are documented. And then looking to the future, he prepared the disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. He said, "Stay in the city until you receive the power of the Spirit, and then go out to continue what I started. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached to all people in my name, in the name of Jesus." And beginning with where you are in Jerusalem, but then spreading out to the whole world, this is what will happen. This is your job, and this is my promise. You will receive the Spirit. So nothing to be afraid of. They didn't have to do it in their own strength, their own confidence. They would receive the powerful Holy Spirit. And as we'll hear next Sunday, that is indeed what happened on the day of Pentecost. And at that time, St. Peter said on that day, and we hear about it in Acts chapter 2, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses to the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, which he has now poured out on all these people here. So a wonderful occasion to look forward to hearing more about next Sunday. Coming back to the ascension, what this actually means is that Jesus has authority. He is now seated on the throne in the heavenly realms beside his Father. It also means the humanity of Jesus. Jesus came down to live amongst us as one of us, and he's now been taken back up to be with his Father, as St. Paul wrote in Philippians, that wonderful hymn of who Jesus was. So he hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't left us for good. He's come down and identified with us and been with us and lived with us. Then there's responsibility. The disciples now have responsibility to continue his earthly ministry. And there's promise. Jesus promises to return, as he said at the end of our Acts reading. And there's the promise of the Holy Spirit. This all sounds very theological. So what about in practice? How can we understand the ascension? Well, I wonder if it would be helpful to go back to that image of the feet of Jesus being the last things that the disciples saw as he was raised. Because remember, he was raised, he was taken up into heaven. He didn't just disappear from their view as he did in the other resurrection appearances in the upper room and some of the other ones. No, he was taken up, and the last thing they saw was his feet. And this is a picture of his feet in textiles. Now, what would his feet have looked like? They would have been dusty from the road, from walking alongside people. They would have been blistered from walking in the shoes of the poor and the oppressed. And they would have been wounded with the holes of the nails. So I wonder if this image tells us something about where we are to walk as his disciples. And that doesn't always mean staying in comfortable places where we are amongst all our friends and we know what's going on. Sometimes it means stepping out into something new. And I wonder too if Jesus ever tried to reason with his Father at that time. Look, I love these people. Just let me stay a bit longer and teach them a bit more and see how they turn out. But then that would have delayed the disciples receiving the Spirit and moving into a new phase of their own ministry in the power of the Spirit, because that's what happened, isn't it? But I wonder whether he did think that sometimes. In ministry, it can sometimes feel like that. We want to stay for longer, do a bit more, be part of people's lives for a bit longer. But God may have other plans. And this is a picture of St. Michael's Kirby Malham. It feels very significant to me that this week, when we celebrate the ascension, the ascending of Jesus to the heavenly places, and the beginning of a new phase in the disciples' lives, and as we await the outcome of this week's interviews for a new vicar, that this is my last service here, and that I too am moving on. God is on the move. He always has been. And in a healthy, growing church, he always will be. And sometimes that means each of us moving into different forms of ministry. I think there are two people from this congregation who've moved into a new form of ministry this week. And that's Kim and Naomi, who've started doing online morning prayer. And there'd be lots more of you who even now are moving in to new forms of ministry. And I think we should all be ready for God's call, whatever age we are, however long we've been involved in God's church. I can't begin to put into words how I feel about you all. I really loved being the curate here and getting to know you and working alongside Phil and then Robin and John and the wardens and the messy church team and the home group leaders and the children and youth group leaders and the What's the Story team and the Pamper Evening team and Nicola and Creative Stories and Jonathan and Toby and David on the music and the parenting course team and all those who helped us with the refugee project and the school and those who help us with baptisms, weddings and funerals and all the fun social events we've had. I could go on. I'm sure I've forgotten someone. But, you know, there's so much going on here and there's so much that I've really loved being involved with as I've been ministering amongst you and with you and alongside you. And there's so much to give thanks for. This is a great community and a lively church. It's a great place to be. And we are thankful, really thankful. Paul and I are very thankful. But alongside all this, there's great joy because God has even more in store for us. Both for me out at Kirby Mallam and also at Gargrave and Coniston Cold, where I'll also be working. And for you here, immeasurably more. God is more than we can imagine. He has immeasurably more amazing things in store for us. He calls us out into things that he's been preparing for us, as he very clearly has been in my case. And he often surprises us with new things. And I'm absolutely sure that he's already preparing new and exciting things for each of you here. As St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So what do we need to do? We need to keep going on the journey of discipleship, following Jesus, open to the Spirit, responding to his prompting in our lives, listening to him as we read the Bible and pray, growing and listening to him as we gather together for fellowship, as we worship God in this place. We all need to do that. And I'll be doing that out in the Dales, and I know you'll be doing that here, under Robin's wise leadership and also under the leadership of whoever comes next. It's an ongoing journey and we're all growing in our faith and in our discipleship. So may God bless us. May he pour out his Spirit upon us and fill us with his peace as we journey on. Amen.